Luke chapter 1, verse 57 says, "Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, 'No, he shall be called John.' But they said to her, 'There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name.' So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, 'His name is John.' So they marveled." So they all marveled. "Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, 'What kind of child will this be?' And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your wonderful word. I thank you for this wonderful account of the birth of John the Baptist and how you worked in the lives of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Father, I pray today that we would see your ways as we look at how you worked in Zechariah and Elizabeth's life, how you work in our lives. I pray, Father, that we would see why you pour out blessings upon us. And I pray that we would be able to gain a closer relationship with you as we remember these truths and dwell on these truths in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can you imagine the joy that Elizabeth and Zacharias had as young John was born? Baby John was born, John the Baptist. Remember that Zacharias and Elizabeth were faithful servants of God all of their lives. They were faithful servants of God. And there was one thing that they desired more than probably anything as far as on this earth goes. And that was to have a child. But they never got a child. And they were older in years, up in years, probably too old to actually have children in their eyes, when the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias and said, "You're going to receive a son." And Zacharias was so taken back by it that he didn't believe it. He didn't believe that he would actually get a son. Even though this angel, Gabriel, is standing before him telling him that. So Gabriel shuts his mouth. He couldn't speak. Zacharias could not speak for 9 months. He could not speak for 9 months. And then God poured out a blessing on this wonderful couple. This couple finally received the blessing of a son. You know, as we remember this blessing, this was the son that Zacharias and Elizabeth had always dreamed of having. But because of their old age, they had given up that it would, they had given up hope that it would happen. However, God poured out a great blessing and did the improbable for Zacharias and Elizabeth. You know, as we looked at our budget, and we looked at how God has provided for us, and we remember how God has provided for us through the years here at Beacon, I can't help but think about how God has poured out blessing after blessing on us. I remember it was this time 4 years ago, this time of year 4 years ago, when I got a call saying that God had provided for all the funds we needed to pay for our land. Completely pay for this land. That was $300,000, by the way. God did that, right? God poured out that blessing. And he's been faithful to us ever since. Now, have things been easy? No, they haven't been easy. But God has been there blessing us and pouring out his blessings on us continually. And I want us to understand that he poured out a great blessing and did the improbable by giving us these things for a reason. For a reason. And not only so we could build a building, but so that we could tell others about Jesus Christ. And I want us to understand that. In this passage, we see the Spirit-filled response of Zacharias as he realizes why God has poured out this great blessing. And that's what I want us to see today. Why God has poured out blessings on us and why God blesses us. So today I want us to apply this passage to our lives and see why God poured out a blessing on us. Of course, we'll look at salvation, and that's the first thing we're going to see. In verse 68, it says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us, visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." The first principle I want us to see is God has poured out a blessing so we could know who gives us salvation. Now, Zacharias starts by praising the God of Israel. He's praising God. And I think it's important that we see that this is his first response after he receives his voice. Now, remember, he doubted the angel Gabriel. He doubted the angel Gabriel. For 9 months, at least, we know that Zacharias could not say one word. And what comes to mind when I think about this is Zacharias was a priest and a prophet. He was a man of God. He could have been teaching others the truths of God during that 9 months. He could have been telling others about God and what God was going to do. But he couldn't because he was mute. Why did God do that to Zacharias? He was a good man. We know that. We're told that in verse 6 of this chapter, right? We're told that. Why then did he do it? I'll tell you why I think he did it. I think he did it because God is more interested in who we are than what we do. God is more interested in who we are than what we do. You see, God wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to know Him. Remember, Jesus said that at the judgment, many will say, "We did great works in your name." But He will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The most important thing that God wants is for you to know Him and who He is. And so He's important. What's more important to Him is that you develop a trust in Him, that you develop a understanding of who He is and have a closer relationship with Him. We learned in Sunday school this morning that trials come into our lives so that we can be made complete or perfect or mature, right? So these trials come into our lives, and this trial that Zacharias endured came into his life so that he'd get to know God more. And we see that the very first words out of his mouth proclaim that, hey, this trial has taught me something about God. He is the one who provides salvation. His ways are great. His ways are marvelous. And we see that this is what God wants us to understand. That when He pours out a blessing on us, it's so that we will get to know Him better. He wants us to know Him. But also, delayed this blessing was, but God also delayed this blessing to show that even though Zacharias and Elizabeth were faithful believers, it did not mean things would work out the way they expected them to. Now, let me explain that. Zacharias and Elizabeth were good people. They were serving the Lord faithfully. But I'm sure over the years, the devil tried to say things like this in their ear. "You don't have a son. You're not blessed because you're doing something wrong. You're not blessed because you're not doing something you're supposed to be doing." And both of those lies are not based on biblical truth. Both of those lies are not based on biblical truth. We see here that these were good people. Were they perfect? No. No one is, except for Jesus. But they were trying to serve the Lord. And because of that, they were blessed in a delayed way so that they would get to know God better and so that they would understand that God's ways are different than what we might expect. And God's blessings will come differently than we may expect. We may have expectations about how God's going to bless us in the future, but God may have a totally different plan on how that's going to happen. He's going to bless you, but it may be totally different than how you are expecting it to happen. And that's exactly what happened here in the life of Elizabeth and Zacharias. They were expecting God to bless them in one way, and when that way didn't work out, they thought, well, it must be because we did something wrong or because we're not doing something right. But it really had nothing to do with that. It had to do with God doing things in a different way that they would only understand as they waited on the Lord. That they would only understand as they waited on the Lord. And then when that blessing finally came and there was that trial that came with it of losing his voice, when it was all said and done, Zacharias had gained an understanding and maturity that he never would have experienced had the blessings come the way he expected them to. You see how that goes? You see what we're saying here? And so it's important that we see that. Now, it says that Jesus would come from the house of David. Zechariah starts explaining the Savior and making a prophecy about Jesus. He says that Jesus will come from the house of David, and that's significant. It's significant because Jesus came from the house and lineage of David, the King of Israel. And so we see this prophecy, and we see that God worked this out. And so he's trying to make it clear to us that salvation has come through Jesus Christ. Make no mistake, God wants you to know specifically who your Savior is, and has made it very clear to us through the many blessings he has poured out on us who our Savior is. Think about it for a minute. Jesus healed many people so that you would know he is the Savior. It's recorded for us in his word that he healed many people so that we would know that he is the Savior. Jesus fed many people so that you would know he's the Savior. He miraculously fed many, many people so that you would know he's the Savior. But the greatest blessing that Jesus poured out was when he poured out his blood on the cross so that you could have your sins forgiven. He made it very clear on the cross that he would provide you with salvation. That's what we see here in Jesus. That's what we see in this passage of Scripture. A clear delineation of who the Savior is. And this blessing was poured out upon Zacharias and Elizabeth so that they would know who the Savior is, and so that we would know who the Savior is. God has poured out many blessings on Beacon Church so that not only we could know that Jesus is the Savior, but so that we could tell others that Jesus is the Savior and tell them with confidence. That's what we can see as we see this blessing poured out. Let's look at verse 70 for a moment. It says, "And as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives, of our life." God has poured out a blessing so we would rely on him throughout our lives. God has poured out a blessing on us so that we would rely on him throughout our lives. Now, in verses 74 and 75, Zacharias tells us that God has poured out his blessing so we could serve him in righteousness without fear. Without fear. Now, all that Zacharias and Elizabeth went through could have brought fear upon them. When they had this trial in their lives where they couldn't have a son, they could have feared that it was something that they had done. All the years, Zacharias and Elizabeth could have feared that something was going to go wrong with her pregnancy. But they didn't have to fear. Why is that? Because they could rely on the promises of God. They could rely on the promises of God. They could rely on God fulfilling his will in their lives. They could have feared that they weren't doing God's will, but they were, and they didn't have to fear. Think about that for a minute. These folks were serving the Lord, and they were doing his will, even though these trials were coming in their lives, they didn't have to face those trials with fear. Serving the Lord is going to require us relying on Him to accomplish His will. You see, we can't do it on our own. We have to rely on the Lord to provide and do what He wants to do in our lives. We can't bless us. Only God can bless us. Understand that. No performance of works can bless us. What we need to understand is that God is the one who pours out blessings. We are going to have to rely on Him. Just like we relied on Him to help us pay for the land on this church, we need to rely on Him now to pay for the building. And we got to rely on Him for other things in our lives. You, as an individual, may have to rely on Him to do things in your life that you can't do on your own. You may be beating your head against the wall trying to accomplish things, but you're fearing that it's not going to happen. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. If you are serving the Lord, if you are one of His, whatever trials come your way, whatever difficulties come your way, God is going to use those to bless you. He wants to bless you. And not only that, He wants to eliminate fear in your life. He wants to eliminate fear. So many times we get caught up in this, I have to do this and I have to do that, and if I don't, then this might happen or this might happen. Well, guess what? If it does, it's God's providence working in your life, and He'll use it to bless you. He'll use it to bless you. And so we need to get past living our lives in fear. We need to get past that and be able to rely on God to work in our lives. So how does God make it possible for us to righteously serve Him without fear? Verse 70 says, He shows us we can rely on His word. Now, I want you to understand something. God has promised some things to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. One of those things is He has promised to guide you. He has promised to guide you. So if we are following Jesus, then we need not fear the path that He brings us down. Think about that for a minute. If you are just trusting in the Lord, if you're trusting in the Lord and trying to follow His guidance, you're doing what you think He wants you to do. Now understand something. Jesus knows you're imperfect, but He is perfect. Okay? Jesus knows that. But if He promised to guide you, and you're trusting that He's going to do that, then you don't have to fear the path. You don't have to fear what comes your way. Because God, by His providence, is guiding you to that situation. He's guiding you to that situation to give you a blessing. To give you a blessing. Now, it might not feel like a blessing when we face that, but that's exactly what God is trying to do. So, that can give us a great amount of peace, knowing that, hey, I don't have to fear because God's promised to guide me, and I'm doing what He wants, so I don't have to fear what's going to happen in my life. That's what Zacharias and Elizabeth could do. They could trust without fear, rely on the Lord without fear, because He would work things out for them in due time. Maybe not in the time that they expected, but certainly in due time. Not only that, He has shown us we can rely on His protection. Not only can we rely on His promises and His word, but we can rely on His protection. You know, God will protect us. We are His children. If you are trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are protected by God. You are protected, and he will help you even when you face trials in your life. During World War II, signalman third-class Elgin Staples was swept overboard in the wee hours of the morning when the Astoria's gun turret exploded. Fortunately, he had been able to activate the narrow life belt. He was pulled from the ocean 4 hours later. But the ship sank, and he was back in the water. This time it was 6 hours before 500 survivors, including Staples, were rescued by the crew of the USS President Jackson. Safely on land, Staples paid attention to every detail of the life belt and noticed that it was made by Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio, and bore a registration number. His mother worked for Firestone. When he returned home, he told his mother the story and told her the number stamped onto the life belt. His mother was stunned because the number was actually her personal inspection number certifying the life belt. You know, Jesus is like that inspector. He's got a life belt for every one of us that trust in him. And he's inspected it, and he's made sure that that life belt is going to work. And when we trust in him, we can know that whatever trials we face, even being cast into the ocean, we can trust that he's going to work it out for us. We can trust that the Lord is going to help us. So we don't have to fear in this world because of the protection we have from the Lord. Not only that, he has shown us we can rely on his promises. I told you about one promise he has shown us, but we can rely on his promise for provision as well. Like I said, as we look at the budget this morning, we're going to find out something. We're going to find out that our God provides. Our God provides. We can look at him and know that he's going to provide for us. He is a great provider. Now, does that mean we're not going to have trials? No. Oh, boy. Okay, we know trials can come, right? But do we know that he's going to provide for us through those trials? Absolutely. And that's what we must remember. We must remember that we don't have to live in fear because we have a God who's going to provide for us. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, are you depending on God's promises? Are you dependent on his promise for protection, for provision? You know, if you are trusting in God's provision for your life, then you're not going to have any problem giving to the Lord. You'll be able to give to the Lord and be happy about it. You won't be giving like, ooh, am I going to need this money later? Oh, no! You know? That's not how we need to give. We ought to be able to give with joy in our heart and without fear, knowing that when we give, God's going to bless it. Remember what Malachi 3 says, that if we give our tithes and offerings to him, he's going to pour out a blessing on us that we cannot contain. Okay? That means God's going to provide for us. That's what it means. So we can rely on him. And it eliminates fear, doesn't it? It eliminates fear when we do that. I love the Christian life because it eliminates fear. Not only that, God has poured out a blessing so we could know what salvation provides. Look at verse 76. It says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. Through the tender mercy of God. Wow. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of what? Peace. Peace. God has poured out a blessing so we could know what salvation provides. And we're told some things about what salvation provides. It tells us that salvation provides forgiveness for our sins. I'm so thankful that God has provided this for us. Remember why we get our sins forgiven. Are we forgiven our sins because we deserve it? No, of course not. Because we've done some good things? No. We get forgiveness of our sins because He is merciful. We don't get this blessing from God because of who we are or what we've done, but because of who He is. Understand that. And every blessing that comes from God, every single one, does not come because of who we are or what we've done, but because of who He is. And that is very important. We need to see that salvation provides us with forgiveness of sins, and we can rely on that forgiveness because of the great mercy of God. Not only that, because of this mercy, it tells us that it provides a guiding light for us. And this light leads us down a path of peace. Now, like I said before, if God is guiding us, like He has promised, right? And we're going down this path, doing what we believe He wants us to do, then we don't have to fear, and we can actually have peace in our heart because He is guiding us. Now, the blessings may not come the way we think they should, just like they didn't come that way with Zacharias and Elizabeth. But we know that when they come, it will be just at the right time with God's blessing, and we can have peace knowing that this is His will in our lives. So, we have this great salvation that is given to us so that we can know God, so that we can rely on God, so that we can do it without fear, and so that we can have peace in our hearts. Isn't that what we all want? Is to be able to have a life lived without fear and with peace? Well, guess what? We can have it. And that's why God pours out blessings upon us. That's why He poured out the blessing of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why He poured out blessings on us in the past. That's why when we look at the blessings that God has given to us, we need to see we can rely on Him without fear and peace in our hearts.